Glory to God. Turn to Psalm 63. I have a word that I cannot wait to release here. It's so good. Now, I can say, well, isn't that prideful to say, Pastor James, it's so good? No, because the Holy Spirit gave it to me. And I recognize it's from the Holy Ghost. I couldn't come up with this by myself. Amen? Amen. Psalm 63. 1 through 8, let's kick this thing off with here. In all the prophetic words, everything, the songs line right up, you'll see. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and glory, in your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Today I want to talk about something that's so important, and in this last song, nailed it. I just sat down there and just smiled, you know. Okay, Holy Ghost, you got this thing. I want to talk about becoming and maintaining aware of the presence of God in your life. Being aware, having an awareness. The title of this message is Awareness of His Presence. This is one of the main differences between a spiritually minded Christian and a carnally minded Christian. Becoming aware of the presence of God, listen to me, will positively affect every area of our life. Say aware.
Aware.
Say, I got to become aware. The Holy Spirit spoke something to me on Friday morning in the shower. You want to hear what he said? I mean, it came to me so strong. I'm not just saying that. I know it sounds spiritual, it sounds cliche, but it came to me and I'm like, there it is. That's it. Here's what he said. This is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me Friday morning. Tell my people, I don't want them coming to me just when they need something. I desire constant and consistent communication with them throughout their day and night while they are awake. I want them to invite and allow me into every part of their day and night. If they will do that, they will be more in tune with my voice and promptings and receive more guidance and wisdom on a daily basis. Here's what he said. He said, I want them to get out of this mindset. Are you ready for this? Get out of the set aside time mindset when it comes to prayer and spending time with him. He made it very clear to me that it's not to be just a small portion of our day or evening to communicate with him and then ignore him the rest of the day. He desires for us to communicate with him throughout the entire day. That's the message. That's it. Have a great day, everyone. You know me, I'm going to break it down. I quit early last week. It's not going to happen here. I almost got 10 pages, so sit back, relax. Take some notes, all right? I got to break it down. The Holy Spirit wanted us to know this, that we are leaving so many blessings on the table by ignoring him throughout the day. We got in this mindset that I got to set aside a half hour or 15 minutes. And that's good to do. I'm not saying don't do that. You understand what I'm saying? Hear what I'm saying, not what I'm saying. Right? Someone says that, right? But we got to get out of that mindset and make it a constant and consistent communication with him. It's fine to set aside time, but here's what we've done. We made it a religious thing. It made it a religious thing, and we ignore him the rest of the day. All right? We must become and remain aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit at all times. Now, here's the thing. Some call it practicing the presence of God. Have you heard that before? Practice the presence of God. But I got to be honest with you. I understand what that's trying to say. I get it. But I'm not fully set or locked in on that phrase, because practicing the presence of God makes it sound and feel like that God's not there, but we're trying to pretend that he is. Are you following me? It's like we're just trying to work this thing up. Practice. Oh, imagine that he's there. No, don't imagine. He is there. He's there around us, and he lives in us as Christians. Amen? That's why I would rather use the phrase aware of his presence. Say aware of his presence. Again, because he is by us and he lives in us as Christians. Oh, we're going to get deeper here. Get ready. We aren't trying to work something up that is not there. He is there, and we need to be aware of that fact, and it will change our spiritual walk forever. That's the impression I got when the Holy Spirit spoke to me. My people's lives could be so much more richer and fulfilling and walking in supernatural wisdom and guidance. Just communicate with me. But when I heard those words from the Holy Spirit, a flash of revelation came to me that he wants us to walk in supernatural power. He wants us to walk in that wisdom and anointing. But, you know, we need to be aware. It all needs to start with being aware. Say aware. We must become aware and maintain that awareness of his presence throughout the day of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, so the Holy Spirit, again, is not only around us. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere, right? But again, the Holy Spirit lives in us, all right? The Holy Spirit made it very clear to me this week. He made it very clear that we as Christians, we are passing up those blessings, okay, because we fail to maintain that awareness of him. Just be aware. We aren't communicating with him. So today, I want to give you some key points that will help you to not only become aware of his presence, but to maintain that awareness. You guys want to learn that? You think that's kind of important, probably, right? Here we go. The first thing you need to know to become and maintain awareness of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person, but without flesh and blood. He's just as real as you and I. He just doesn't have that outward shell of flesh. Now, so he has everything. The Holy Spirit has everything that we have on this earth, except for, I like to say it this way, an earth suit. Right? So here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, tell your people. He said, stop thinking of me as an impersonal being, a cloud or a fog. Many Christians make the Holy Spirit so mysterious that they distance themselves from him. And they disqualify themselves from that personal interaction with him. Are you following what I'm saying? He's so mysterious, I can't even approach him. No, he's very approachable. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is a spirit being, and he has a mind. He has a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and that is why he's a person. Your flesh and blood, your physical body does not make you a person. You know that, right? What makes you a person is that you have mind, will, and emotions. That is the definition of a person. So you could even say this, evil spirits, demon spirits are persons even. It's getting real quiet in here. Soak this in now. A person, again, a person is not defined by fleshly physical body, but rather possessing a mind, will, and emotions, all right? So we as Christians, we can get so focused on the natural physical realm that we forget and overlook the spiritual aspect of our life. Isn't it easy to do that? We only think about and give attention to our natural senses, right? Things in the natural realm. But here's what you got to understand. Because the Holy Spirit is a person, he speaks. He moves. He has a will. He has emotions, just like you and I. You got to bring him into that level, because if you don't, the temptation is always going to be, he's too mysterious for me. And I don't know how to connect with this impersonal, mysterious, holy being. Get rid of it. He's personal. He wants to talk to you. He wants to have conversations with you. He wants to lead you. Amen? So you need to understand this. We as humans are spirit beings. You meditate on that. We are spiritual beings. We possess a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a physical body. So we just have one extra thing that the Holy Ghost doesn't have, a physical body. But everything he needs to lead and guide us, to communicate with us, he has all the characteristics of that. So you will continue. You and I, we will continue to live on for eternity after our physical body dies. So we know then our physical body has really nothing to do with it. So if you strip away the earth suit, we still have that communication. We still have emotions. We still have thoughts. We still have a will. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm bringing the Holy Spirit down into our world. All right? This is important to understand. All right? So because you are a spiritual being, you and I, we are picking up messages. We are picking up promptings. We are being influenced all the time in the spiritual realm through our spirit man. All right? There is no doubt about that. But the main factor is this. This is what I'm pressing at today. Here's the main factor. What kingdom in the spiritual realm are you more aware of or paying attention to? The kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness? Here's where the enemy gets a stronghold on the inside of us as Christians many times. If a Christian is more tuned into the natural realm, your natural senses, in the negative circumstances in the natural realm, by default, are you ready for this? By default, you are more in tune with the kingdom of darkness than the kingdom of God. Say focus. Say awareness. In fact, the Holy Spirit gave me this. This is so good. Listen to me. In fact, we use the word stronghold a lot of time in connection to the enemy, don't we? Right? That's the spiritual warfare word, strongholds. Strongholds are coming down. But listen to this. But you could use the word focus in place of stronghold. A stronghold means this. This is the definition the Holy Ghost gave me. A stronghold means that you are more aware or focused on something to the point that it influences your thought life, words, and emotions. It's a thought life issue. A stronghold is a thought life issue. You get it? So stronghold, you got to get away from the word stronghold only in a negative sense. Stronghold is not just a spiritual warfare word. God can be your stronghold. God's word can be your stronghold. The Holy Ghost can be your stronghold. Are you getting it? So stronghold is a neutral thing. And it's a neutral thing, and what shifts it to the left or to the right is what kingdom you're more aware of. What kingdom you're more focused on. I might be talking about things that you never even thought about before. Well, that's why you're here. Right? Many times, it's not a random spiritual warfare problem for the Christian. It's an awareness and focus problem of the Christian. See, there's not a stronghold from the enemy that you aren't able to overcome. There's not one stronghold in your life that you're not able to overcome. Here's what you made. You made it impossible in your own thought life. It's that simple. But if you would shift the track of that train, you could go in a positive direction. When you focus on God's word in the kingdom of God. All right? Now, the word of God says that we walk by faith and not by sight or by the natural sight, right? So listen to this. I'm going to throw some nuggets out at you. Walking by faith means that you are willingly tuning out the negative circumstances in the natural realm and the influence of the kingdom of darkness, and you are more aware of, more focused on, and conscious of the promises in the Word of God. You're more focused on the kingdom of God and the ability of the Holy Spirit to shift that circumstance. Oh, you could say it this way. Your focus determines who you're employing in your life, the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of God. You're employing spiritual beings all the time, and your focus and awareness is the one that's doing it. Wow, that's powerful. This will set someone free if you really take hold of this. When your faith is active, you are aware of and tuned into the Holy Spirit. Now, so listen to this. Faith, doubt, and unbelief are all an issue of your awareness and focus. Just like when Peter asked Jesus, "Can I go out on the water?" "Sure, come on out." Well, as long as Peter was focused on Jesus, he walked on water. But when the waves and the storm came, what happened? The focus shifted off of Jesus and on the storm, and he began to sink. You getting it? It's a focus issue. It's an awareness issue. There's some things the enemy's doing in your life right now. You need to ignore him. Some of you are giving him too much attention. You're giving him too much focus in your life. And you need to shift that awareness. See, but you're too focused on the natural circumstances. But natural circumstances won't change until you shift your focus in the spirit realm to the kingdom of God. Now, faith, you could say, is an extreme hyper-focus on the right things. To have faith means that you put your priority and focus on the unseen realm, the kingdom of God in the spirit realm. And in one of the words that was spoken, it was fasting and prayer. And I'm talking about that just a little bit today. So that word, yes, I do believe in Chicago at the DNC, demons are going to be employed in this country. They're having, I heard something about they're having abortions right across the road from the arena and vasectomies, and the Democrats hate life. Yep. Yep. They hate life. They have no regard, no respect for life. Hello, somebody. You cannot be a Democrat and a Christian at the same time. I said it. I said it. I don't care who gets up and walks out. How can you? The entire platform has taken God out. And they accept murder of the unborn. How can anybody say that Jesus is in that? Come on. Someone asked me, say, how can someone support that? I said, you know what? The only logical explanation is this. It's a sin problem. They love darkness rather than light. It's a demonic problem. Anybody that thinks that's okay and that you're a follower of Christ, you're deceived. Plain and simple. And I'm not ashamed to say it from this pulpit. Pulpits need to speak out about that even more. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are, how much money you give to this church. You're going to hear the truth. Amen. Amen? Listen, so fasting and prayer was talked about. That is why fasting and prayer are so powerful and increases your faith. Here's what's happening. You are stripping away everything. Anything that's a distraction or a negative influence in your life. It got mighty quiet after that political talk. People need to hear it. That's why this country is going to hell in a handbasket, because no one's preaching that kind of stuff from here. You're teaching all these other spiritual principles, but you can't come out and say that those Democrats believe this stuff are evil? Come on. Don't go to the edge and stop there. Jump all off and tell them they're nuts. They're nuts. They're filled with demons. Now, I'm not saying the other side's perfect by any means. But there's policies that promote life. There's policies that are promoting the things of the kingdom. And by the way, a no vote is a vote for evil. Get out and vote. Amen? Now, here's what. So, fasting and prayer. Man, I feel like jumping in that the whole rest of the sermon, but I got things to do here. So, stop pulling it out of me, would you? Listen. Come on now. Listen to this. So, fasting and prayer allows you to get in to a hyper-focus mode. Say hyper-focus. A hyper-focused mode on the Lord, on the Word of God, on the kingdom of God. If you really want to get deep about it, some people are like, well, this is kind of weird. But no, we are God's creation. This is God created us this way. When you're fasting and praying, are you ready for this? It takes you out of the beta brainwave mode. What's beta? That means you're in this stressed out mode. There's no peace. You're busy. You're stressed. Your mind's going crazy. And it puts you, are you ready for this? Come on. Puts you in an alpha and theta brainwave mode where you're able to focus. That's why faith can increase. What breaks faith the quickest? Distraction. Come on, somebody. It puts you in a peaceful, concentrated mindset where you can focus on the things of God more. Amen? And that's why that impacts your life. And you got to know this about prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting, it doesn't change God's mind on an issue. You got to get that. It does not change God's mind of an issue. Here's what it does. It shifts our focus on things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and that is why it will cause a breakthrough in your life. Jesus said, this kind of demon does not come out by prayer and fasting. Why? Because evidently, that kind of a spirit, the disciples ran into some kind of a mental block dealing with that kind of a demon. So Jesus said, if you're going to overcome that mental block that's causing the distraction, that's causing that thing not to come out of that person, you need to pray and fast. No, not that that demon cares that you're not eating a meal. Hello. Yeah. Not that it's changing God's mind. God wants that person delivered more than you want them delivered. Right. What it's doing is it's shifting your focus back on the kingdom of God, that all things are possible, that you have authority over all these things. Are you following me? That's what prayer and fasting does. It changes you, not God. It gives us clear spiritual vision. Oh, we're making disciples here. We're making disciples here at Living Waters Chapel. Amen? I like these practical things. Amen? So prayer and fasting, it increases our faith because it reduces distractions. It produces a spiritual mindset on the inside of you. And here's what it also does. I could get so deep into this whole fasting thing. Let me just throw this out at you. It also activates cleansing and healing systems in your physical body that will help with your focus. Has anybody ever ate like a big steak and had a big meal and you were no good? You're not going to prayer. You're going to take a nap. You're out. You're out for the count. You're in a food coma. You're done. But when you fast, baby, come on. You're focused. I mean, you feel like your spirit wants to jump out of your physical body because it gets rid of the toxins that are making you feel sluggish. It actually, God created our bodies to heal itself. You know that? So when you fast, you're releasing those healing systems to work properly. That's why when someone gets sick, you lose your appetite. Why? So those healing properties can start to work. Come on, somebody. Oh, this is good stuff. So it's getting rid of all the even physical things that would negatively affect our thought life. And this is just another reason why alcohol is not good. It prevents you from thinking clearly. Hello, somebody. Boy, I'm hitting some big ones today. Alcohol and politics. Man, we're just really going at it. Man, there's a shake going on. Woo! Yeah. Devil don't like this one today. It prevents you from thinking clearly. Alcohol is a toxin. What fasting's trying to do to cleanse you, when you drink, you're putting toxins back in you. It doesn't make you think straight. In fact, that's why you do it, probably. You're trying to numb yourself from some pain in your life. It's a Band-Aid. Amen? Here, listen to this. Fasting and prayer disconnects you from the natural realm and makes you more focused and in tune with the spirit realm. Now, I want to point something out here. That fasting, you got to understand this. Because fasting is a neutral thing. Say neutral. What do I mean by that? Fasting is neutral, a neutral spiritual discipline. Why? Because false religions, those in false religions, even fast. You know what the separation, you know what the difference is? What are you focusing on when you're fasting? What kingdom are you focusing on? Fasting is just a neutral thing. It's a good thing. But some people in false religions are going, right? They're going off in the wrong direction. Some people call it, well, it does enlightenment and all, you know, all this kind of new age stuff, right? So the difference between that then is using that neutral fasting, the neutral fasting benefits for your benefit for the kingdom of God with your awareness and focus. Is anybody getting anything out of this today? So fasting allows your spirit man to overpower your fleshly or sinful desires and influence. And that's why faith increases with prayer and fasting when you're focusing on the right thing, right? If you're fasting and gossiping, just go ahead and eat. If you're fasting and looking at porn, go ahead and eat. Hello, somebody. So fasting and prayer will make you more sensitive to the manifest presence of God. There must be a realization and an understanding that the Holy Spirit, let's take it back to this point, that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person, not a thing or an unknown mysterious force. He is a person that desires a relationship with you. All right? So once you become aware and understand that, it'll change your entire outlook on your relationship with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Now, the Holy Spirit desires to speak to you, as I said earlier, through our spirit man. And the Holy Spirit, here's what you got to know too. The Holy Spirit takes pleasure in communicating with you. That is an awesome and amazing thing, but that desire of the Holy Spirit is not enough. It isn't good enough. What do I mean by that? For there to be an impact or a benefit in your life, you must also desire to communicate with the Holy Ghost. And for that to happen effectively, let's take it back, you must be aware and conscious of His presence on the outside of you and within you. He is available to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Even when you get up to go to the bathroom 7 times at night, He's there. He's like, aren't you going to talk to me? Aren't you at least going to say, hey, right? Hey, maybe ask me to heal you and you'll sleep through the night. Right? But no, we just get up, walk to the bathroom and ignore Him. Boy, this is good. Now, so if you will start talking to Him on a regular and consistent basis, it will help you to tune in and focus on Him and expect an answer back from Him. Expect an answer back from Him. Don't just be the blabbermouth. I say it all the time, right? You talk to someone, I mean, if they're just blabbing on, they don't give you any word in edgewise. It gets kind of annoying, right? You're not going to benefit from that other person's wisdom, right? So ask Him a question. Get quiet. Pay attention. Be aware. He's on the inside of you. Amen? Look at Psalm 63. Let's break Psalm 63, 1 through 2 down. Oh, one of my favorite topics is the Holy Spirit and being led by Him, how to hear from Him. Psalm 63, 1 and 2 says, O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land. Oh, you think America's a dry and thirsty land right now? Hello. Pretty dry, isn't it? Where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. So I want you to notice here, look at the spiritual hunger, the spiritual desire for the presence, the manifest presence of God and communication with God from David here. David said, early will I seek you. So communication with God, based on that, based on what he said, we can confidently say this. Based on that, David's communication with God was a priority and not a last option. It was a priority. Say priority.
Priority.
Check your priorities in your life. All right. David had a very good and sharp awareness and understanding that God is a person. The Holy Spirit was a person and that he was very approachable. See, this is what you can glean from the Psalms, just how approachable our God is. Amen? David was very aware of the presence of God, and he was aware when his manifest presence was and wasn't there. Are you following me? He knew when the presence of God was in his life and when it wasn't in his life. David was seeking God's manifest presence. He was seeking the glory of God. Just like Moses was. Lord, show me your glory, right? Moses said. But David was spiritually hungry. He was spiritually thirsty for the presence of God. He pressed in to experience the manifest presence of God. You want to know what that pressed in means? He made an effort. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Say diligent.
Diligent.
It's not just seeking him. It's diligently seeking him. All right? So you need to understand that once you get a taste, once you get a feel, a sense of the manifest presence of God, anything less will never satisfy you. It will wreck your cozy little comfort zone. That's why when someone starts to experience it in church, and then the next service, they don't feel it as strong. They walk away feeling, oh, not as filled, right? Just something was missing. You ever feel that way at church?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I get it. You see what I'm saying? But you get a taste of it. You get a taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's talking about his presence. And so anything less just won't do. It won't do. That's why backslidden Christians are one of the most miserable ever. Because they once tasted of the good gift. Now they're tasting the pig slop of the world. And something just don't feel right. It's because you're missing God's presence. Because you're more aware, more focused on this trash of this world and sin more than the presence of God. Now, so David sought out the presence of God to see God's power and glory. So there must be a desire. There must be a drive on the inside of you to seek more of God in your life. That desire, listen to this, that desire should drive you to identify and eliminate or limit distractions to that intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
It should drive you to identify and limit distractions in your life. We know it's impossible to live a life free of all distractions. Hello, right? I get it. But there's some things we can get, those distractions we can get out of our life. Then there's others we can limit. Say limit. It should drive you to shift and rearrange priorities in your life. Now, moving on up. David had a revelation, an awareness, and an understanding that God's loving kindness was better than life. Did you catch that in that? That God's loving kindness was better than life, and nothing else would satisfy him. The only way, listen to me, about loving kindness, the only way that David could understand God's loving kindness was through this. There's only two ways he could have known this. Ready? communication, and relationship with him. It was through experiencing his loving kindness. Do you want to know what loving kindness is defined as? This is interesting. Ready? Loving kindness is defined as this. Ooh, I feel the anointing right now. As a tenderness and consideration toward others. David called or said that God had the characteristic of loving kindness, that God had a tenderness and a consideration toward others. See, God's not just some impersonal force. He has a tenderness toward you. He considers you. You're in his thoughts all the time. The question is he in your thoughts all the time? That's the missing link. So it is impossible to really know that aspect of a person, loving kindness, without truly having a personal relationship with them or knowing their character. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just not something you read about. It's something you experience. And when you experience the presence of God, you experience that loving kindness. When someone here experienced the presence of God, do you feel like your heart just melting? Do you feel a softness, a tenderness? Do you feel like the loving arms of your Heavenly Father coming around you and saying everything's going to be all right? That's God's loving kindness. Isn't that good? So David was very, I feel the anointing like electricity flowing through me right now. Because I'm touching on something that God wants to get across to all of us today. He has loving kindness toward you and I. So David was very aware of God's amazing character because he communicated with him on a regular basis. David included God into every area of his life. Even in the times, listen to me, someone needs to hear this. Even in the times that David messed up. Here's the revelation. You want to know when David really sensed God's loving kindness? Ready for this? David really got a revelation of God's loving kindness when David sinned and repented because God was right there to take him back. David thought he did way too much wrong that God would ever take him back. But God was right there, and he restored, come on somebody, he restored that manifest presence in his life. And that's why David couldn't help but say that God is filled with loving kindness. Amen. Anybody ever experienced that? You fell away from the Lord. Man, it was just bad, bad, bad. But you came back and God just like wrapped a coat of his presence around you. And you felt his loving kindness. Stir those feelings up again. Stir those feelings up again when you felt that. David recognized the love and tenderness of God through communication. And experiencing the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, according to David in verse 6, the way he maintained that awareness of God was by meditating about him in his night watches. Say meditating. So we need to do and listen to things that keeps God fresh in our thought life. Memorize scripture, speak scripture, listen to Christian music, listen to Christian worship music. Amen? Do things that's going to keep God fresh in your thought life. All right? Meditation is also a neutral thing. You hear meditation, many Christians say, oh, I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Well, the Bible talks about meditating on the Lord, meditating on God's word. So meditation is a neutral thing. Your focus or awareness determines if it's good or if it's bad, right? So David retained God in his thought life, and that made him aware of God's presence and ability in his life. Don't ever forget this about focus and awareness. Are you ready for this? I like this little saying, all right? Remember this, don't ever forget it. Where focus goes, energy flows. Where focus goes, where your focus goes, your energy flows toward that thing. It's almost like when you shift your focus to the Lord and on the Word and on the kingdom of God, it's almost like a portal of God's presence begins to open over your life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where your focus goes, your energy flows, all right? Try doing something without focusing on it. You're going to mess up on some things. Amen? And listen to this. That's when the house of cards begin to fall in your life, when you fail to retain God in your thought life. We need to stay aware of his presence. We need to stay aware of his nearness to us. Nearness outside, nearness inside. Amen? When God is taken out of your thought life and awareness and remembrance, that's when it becomes easier to fall into worldliness and sin. That's when it becomes easy. In fact, show me a backslidden Christian, and I will show you there was a point where God, their awareness of God, left them, and they shifted their focus on the wrong thing. Literally, if God were to show you a timeline of a backslidden Christian, he could put a dot right on that line and say, yep, this is where it happened, right here. And it was all uphill, downhill, however, negative from there. That's why the Word of God is so, it tells us, keep God in your thought life, all right? If you maintain the reality of that, of God in his presence everywhere you go, every word that you speak, everything you do, guess what? You're going to think twice about what you're doing. You're going to think twice about what you're saying. Romans 1, I'm not going to read it, but if you look today, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, it talks about the fall, basically, of mankind, how they've fallen away from God. But the key to all of that, it talks about homosexuality and all that stuff. The key to that fall can be found in verse 28. And it says this, are you ready? Very simple. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That was the fall right there. The moment God left their awareness, left their focus, left their thought life, that's when they've fallen away from him. It's that simple. So the entire breakdown of humanity, of a person's life, is when they fail to retain God in their knowledge. Eve, when she sinned, right? What happened? The enemy was successful at shifting her focus away from God's command and turning what should have had an exclamation mark. The enemy was successful in putting a question mark in her mind. All right? That is why Satan and the entire kingdom of darkness. That's why they wanted the Ten Commandments out of schools and public places. That's why they wanted the Word of God taken out. Why? Because if those things are left in the public schools and public, it's going to keep God in people's thought life. In fact, if you're an evangelist, you're out witnessing to people. The only thing we're trying to do is sow seeds of putting God back into their knowledge. We're bringing to their remembrance about their Creator. We're bringing to their remembrance about their spiritual state. And they need Jesus. You're putting God back into their thought life. That's your job. That's my job. We're putting God back in people's thought life. So you will act differently when you retain a freshness in your thought life of who God is and an awareness of His presence. All right? It's the difference between making a wise and foolish decision in your life. Plain and simple. Look at Psalm 63, 7 through 8 here as I'm getting close to being done. Now, 7 and 8. All right. It says, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. So, David said his soul follows close behind God. I like that. I like that. In other words, David, he said, was retaining God in his thought life, and he was allowing God to be in front of him, to lead him. Are you getting it? My soul follows, not far behind, close behind. But you're still allowing God to lead you. So David, you could say it this way, David was a God chaser. Do you guys remember that book by Tommy Tenney? God Chasers. Powerful book. I highly recommend it. Read it. It'll light a fire in your spirit. Trust me. But here's what you need to know. David wasn't perfect. David was not perfect. But he knew who to run back to when his soul got off course at times. And he always found his way back to God. Amen? Find your way back to God if you lost him in your life. Amen? In fact, listen, so one of the reasons David had such remorse and sadness. You can read Psalm, I believe it's 51, where David was repenting and sorrowful for his sin. One of the reasons David had such remorse and sadness for his sin was because of that closeness or communication with God. Listen, was interrupted. See, you listen, you don't get sad about something. You don't grieve about something that you don't care about. Hello, somebody, right? You don't get sad about something you don't care about. David cared about it, but he messed up, and he felt something shifted in his walk with God. David was very aware that his sin separated him. It put a distance between him and God, and it caused, here's what happened, it caused the manifest presence of God to not return until David repented. Here's my point. David recognized when God's presence was there. He recognized it when it wasn't. Do you recognize it in your own life? Where are you at with him today? Amen. Now, in verse 8, it says, because of that awareness and very close relationship of David's soul following close behind, it goes on to say this after it says that. It says, the right hand of God upholded him. Why is that? Did you notice that in verse 8? Why is that? Why did the right hand of God uphold him as his soul followed close behind God? Here's why. Because this is exactly what the Holy Spirit was showing me and telling me that on Friday. Because there was constant or consistent communication. There was consistent, and the Holy Spirit was allowed to guide David. Amen? That is exactly the point that we need to get today. If we will be in and maintain constant communication or a freshness in our thought life, in our awareness, in our focus, we will experience, I'm telling you this, I feel it, I mean, more than anything else, we will experience more blessing, we will experience more wisdom and guidance in our life. And the word even says to pray without ceasing, pray with consistency. Basically, what that means is this. Obviously, you know, you can't verbally pray throughout the day, right? Constantly. But here's what the Holy Spirit said pray without ceasing means. Are you ready? Let's just make it very simple. A constant awareness of him. A constant awareness of him. The consistent communication is proof of your spiritual hunger, your desire and humility to seek God and not lean on your own understanding. When maintaining constant communication, you are actually activating some spiritual laws in a positive direction. Now, remember when I talk about spiritual laws. When I talk about spiritual laws, what I mean is this, that they are neutral and they can be used for good, they can be used for evil. Amen? It depends how you activate the spiritual laws. So I want to show you three of them real quick here. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Told you I'm making up for last week. Matthew 7. And we'll start real quick at verse 7. Jesus said these words. He said, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give him good things who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So the three things I want to point out real quick here is ask, seek, and knock. Say that with me. Ask, seek, and knock. Here's the deal. These are spiritual laws. And Jesus said, if we do these three things, we will always get a response. Hello? That's good news, right? Make sure you're asking, seeking, and knocking in the right area. It's a spiritual law. That's why Ouija boards can conjure up demons. Hello? So here's what, ask, seek, knock. This is what the Holy Spirit wanted me to get across to you about these things. Are you ready? All of these things require an awareness, a focus, a desire, and communication. Are you ready for this? I'm getting ready to drop this bomb, this glory bomb on you. Ready? For specific things, not general things. Oh, this is an instruction. This is not an instruction to ask, seek, and knock for general things. This is an instruction to us to ask, seek, and knock for very specific things. And if you're going to ask for something specific, it takes your awareness and focus. You don't ask, seek, and knock without a target of something in your thought life. Amen? I truly believe this is where many Christians miss it in their prayer life. They miss it. Many are way too general in their asking, seeking, and knocking. In fact, many don't even make it past the asking stage. Hello? Right? The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. You want to hear this? Listen to this. I'm going to say it anyways. Listen. He said this. He said, when a Christian gets too general in their asking, seeking, and knocking, that means they have gotten too spiritually lazy. They have no spiritual desire, and they don't really care. They're caught up with distractions and idols in their life. And then he went on to say this, however, if a Christian is specific in their asking, seeking, and knocking, they have put an effort, a focus, and thought into their request. And it shows a desire for that specific thing. And they're serious about it, and they're taking hold of it. Do you see the difference? So the Holy Spirit is waiting for you to turn that desire and focus into communication and action, a meaningful pursuit for Him. Amen? See, I told you before, the gospel, it's very simple. Right? The gospel's simple, but the kingdom of God, however, is a little bit more in depth. It takes a disciple mindset to want to learn the kingdom of God. The gospel's simple. Jesus Christ, Him crucified, He rose from the dead, but have faith in Him. Praise God! The kingdom of God, you got to be a student of the word. It takes more of an effort. Amen? So here's what it really comes down to. Ask, seek, and knock are spiritual laws that give the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God permission to communicate and to work on your behalf in your life. It gives the Holy Spirit access into your life. You are, I like to say it this way, you are engaging the kingdom of God on your behalf. You're employing the kingdom of God on your behalf. Why else would God tell us to ask, seek, knock if it didn't mean anything? Hello? God's telling us to do it because He's telling us how to receive from the kingdom of God. Amen? He's telling us how to receive. Anybody want to know how to receive from God? Yes. Amen? So the fact is this. We are expected to engage or invite the Holy Spirit into every area of our life. And that takes an awareness of His presence and His willingness to do that. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. So we must first engage Him before He takes action in our life. It all starts with invitation and permission. Say that with me. Invitation and permission. You're in Bible school this morning. You're at Rhema Bible Training Center this morning, right? Come on. Listen, it starts with invitation and permission. God gave authority to mankind on this earth. In the spirit realm, the beings in the spirit realm, the kingdoms, two kingdoms in the spirit realm must be given an invitation and permission to operate in your life in the natural realm. And that's why it's so important to be aware and focused on His presence in your life, all right? The Holy Spirit's the helper, but you got to engage His help, right? All right, so that's why I'm almost done. Just hold on now, hold on. I can feel it. I can feel that energy, bad energy coming at me. Hold on, hold on. All right, listen. That's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge, ask, seek, and knock for him, and he shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He must be fresh in your heart. He must be remembered. He must be thought about without distractions. He must be valued and honored. He must be recognized in your life. Amen? Lean not on your own understanding. Leaning on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding or perception of what's going on around you with your fleshly mindset. All right? Ask the Holy Spirit for help. Communicate with him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. All right? Now, if we will do that, page 10, okay? Y'all happy? Gosh, I got to get through this. Listen, if we will do that with a sincere, focused heart, it says that he will direct our paths, right? The key is this. Here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said we must acknowledge him with every path in our life. Not general, specific. I'm taking it back to the specific. We must acknowledge it. Not a general invitation for all paths. We must be very specific on that invitation for that specific path. Lord, help me in my marriage. Lord, help me in my finances. Lord, help me in... Are you getting it?
Yes.
Invite him to each path of your life. So church, it's time for all of us to desire and to put an effort into asking, seeking, and knocking like never before. It's time to truly become aware of his presence. And not just in times of church services. Not just in times of trouble or separate times apart. But every moment of the day and night that we're awake, the Holy Spirit desires to be involved in every area of our life. He desires that constant, that consistent communication with us. And when we do that, we will be tapping into and experiencing the abundant life, the supernatural wisdom and power of God like never before. Amen? Let's stand up in this place. Prayer team, come on down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In awareness of his presence. Now, maybe you're in this place. You've never made Jesus Lord of your life. You're still what the Bible calls you, a child of the devil. You're a child of the devil. That's what your father is, Satan. That's what the word says. If you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, Pastor James isn't saying that. The word of God says it. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, I want you to come down and pray with one of our prayer team members to make Jesus Lord of your life. Now, more than not, there's probably more in here. There's more in here where you felt like you lost that awareness. You lost your focus. You stumbled. You messed up. You were like David. Your soul got off course from following close behind. If you want to rededicate your life, if you want to make it right, you need to confess. You need to talk to someone today and someone to pray with you. Come down and pray with one of our prayer team members. You want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism? You want to learn about praying in tongues and all of that stuff? You want to receive? Come on down. We will talk to you about that as well. And if you need prayer for anything else, many of you know Pastor Solomon, who pastored here for 37 years, went home to be with the Lord this week. So we continue to lift up Priscilla, Joel, and Wendy, and the entire family, and everyone that's affected. I mean, so many good seeds were planted. Let's do that right now. Father, Lord, we lift up Priscilla, Joel, and Wendy right now, and the whole family. Lord, first of all, we thank you for Pastor Solomon's life and all the seeds he sowed. Lord, let them continue to be multiplied. We thank you for his life. But Lord, comfort Priscilla, Wendy, and Joel and the family and everyone who's been affected by the passing of Pastor Solomon. Lord God, we just thank you for everything that he's done. And we will continue on with what he started here at Living Waters Chapel. Until we see him again in glory. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right, healing service on Saturday. Come on out at 7. Invite someone. Amen. Power of God's going to be flowing, and you might learn something. All right, God bless you all.